Thank you, Kelly. And I was stuck up here without a handkerchief. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we ask for your grace and strength for this next few minutes. Would you please bless our time together, knit our hearts together in the eternal bonds of love and peace. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, beloved, the hour has come for me to address you one last time as your pastor. And let me first say, and I wish there were all those that have been part of this ministry that were able to be here today. I wish everyone could hear me say this. It has been a blessing and a privilege from God to serve here as your shepherd. Talk about being in a strait betwixt too. What Brett was just reading from 1 Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Inside joke. I've tried to teach you over the years from the whole counsel of God, and I've not shunned away from sharing what is profitable for your souls and for mine. You know, they say to teach is to learn twice, and I think it's that way for the preaching of the Word of God as well, because it requires much study, and so there's a double blessing to those who handle the Word of God and those who have done this and taught. You know what I'm talking about. It's a real sweet blessing, and I have enjoyed being your pastor these last years, and each of you, young and old, alike, means so much to me. I thought I would go around the church and just mention, you know, all of you, but I'm afraid I'll leave somebody out. But it's been such a blessing to me to be your pastor. We have been a family. And like with every family, we have had our rough times and our good times. And sometimes things are difficult, just like it is for all of our families. And yet, God has helped us find peace even in life's storms together, praying one for another, helping one another, and being forgiving, kind, tender-hearted, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. All of us have seen the mysterious works of God's providence and his sovereignty, and we bow to him. He is worthy, and we should always bow to him, even when things don't go exactly as we planned or exactly as we desire. We can trust in him every step of the way. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 20 this morning. I'll just give you a little bit of a brief history of what's happening in the Acts. Actually, the Acts, it says the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really the Acts of the Spirit of God who was doing this work among men. And in Acts chapter 19, we're not going to read it all, but I can just give you a synopsis. There was a great uproar among the people of Ephesus because of the great goddess Diana. And there was a great profiteering silver and fine golds, and all of that were part of the godlessness of the city of Ephesus at that time. And when the gospel came to Ephesus and to Asia Minor, there was the Bible says there was a great uproar among the people. And it was because many were coming to Christ. and they were giving up their idols. And because they were giving up their idols, the great goddess Diana and all of her merchants were suffering. And then we come to chapter 20, and you'll see in verse 1 it says, after the uproar was ceased, Paul called the disciples, and embraced them and departed to go to Macedonia. And starting with me now in verse 17, for time's sake, it says this, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. I'd just like to stop and say something here. Here was a town given to idolatry, kind of like Athens was. Here was a town that was known, was really on the map at that time for this wicked idolatry. But notice with me what he says in verse 17, that he calls the elders of the churches together. And that's just a great encouragement to me, that no matter how dark a town or a state or a country may be, there is always a remnant. Of course, these elders were pastors. They were pastors of different churches. They represented congregations of people just like you, people who love Jesus Christ, people who have been saved from their sin, people who love the Word of God. And so here it was, these elders come from Ephesus, so Paul can address them. But it just struck me this time reading through in preparation for this, that here was this remnant of godly people in an ungodly world. And you know, isn't that exactly what we have here? We have people in this church from all walks of life who have come to this place mainly not because of me, but because of the truth that binds us together, the Word of God, our Savior Jesus Christ, who we must never forget, is the head of the church. He is the King. And so we come to this book and we're told that there was this still a remnant of people. Follow along as I continue in verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with humility of mind, and with many tears, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. What a wonderful text of Scripture. What a wonderful farewell speech Paul makes to these beloved saints. And he talks about the very things that are the warp and woe of ministry. The warp and woof of ministry and just the whole orbit of being a church in a world like ours. And so it's just a great blessing to me as we see what Paul was saying, and how he talked about the many tears and serving the Lord and the lying in wait of the Jews, or we could say troublemakers, lying in wait of any troublemakers wherever we are. And how he kept back nothing. In other words, we preach the word in season and out of season. We want the word to be part of our lives. We want to know what the word of God says to us. And he was going publicly from house to house. And it's been a blessing over the years to lead people to Christ in their houses or in my house or our house. And it's been a great joy to have that ministry with people. And the message, of course, in verse 21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And here was Paul's advice to them in verses 28 through 32. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. It's a good message for every single one of us. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know, here's a warning, for I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after them. He's talking about the opposition to the gospel. We should not be surprised when there's opposition to the gospel. And he goes on and he says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And I love verse 32. And now, brethren, and this is what I would say to you today, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. This was, you might say, this was quite a dramatic scene with Paul and these elders, and how there was this great heartache that was natural because they loved one another. There was a heart burden that they would be saying goodbye. But you know, really, folks, the inheritance that Paul talked about there in verse 32 is our inheritance, and we're going to be together for all eternity. And so that's a joyful view that we must keep in mind, that we're being commended to God. In other words, we're being placed in God's hands. And to the word of his grace, he's a God of all grace, and he's able to keep us and watch over us and build us up and fit us, encourage us among all those that are sanctified with this one rich inheritance that we have. And you know, that kind of takes the sting out of saying goodbye. You know, we're still going to miss one another, of course. And I'll have you all on speed dial on my phone anyway. And we can talk and you can call and we can be in touch with one another. But it's good to know that we're in the hands of God. What great fellowship, love, and compassion that there is here for all of us who work for the Lord. It's a great and glorious cause of Jesus Christ. I love what it says about when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. He talked about them and what was before them and their work. Let me just find this for you. It's in 1 Thessalonians, the opening verses. And I'm sure we've shared this together over the years when I've been in this pulpit. But in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, you'll remember these words. Where he says this in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patient hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing your election, knowing your inheritance, brethren. And so here's what's cut out for us to do. To keep on laboring without ceasing this work of faith, this labor of love, this patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming again. And what a blessing it is if we can keep ourselves focused through this time of transition. You know, the next pastor will surely be different than me. Some of you are saying, thank God. But it must needs be that every person is different. And so, but you follow him as he follows Christ. I like that, how Paul used that as an example, as a blueprint example. You follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. We're looking for a man who is a fundamental Bible man, believing all the doctrines of the Bible, a lover of Jesus Christ, a lover of you, the people, a lover of the Word of God. You know, we had such a blessed exercise in Wednesday night prayer meeting. Did something different than I've ever done before. And we just looked at our own favorite Bible verses of all the people that were there. And you know, I came away from that prayer meeting, I know all of you can't attend prayer meeting, but everyone gave their favorite Bible verse. Do you have a favorite Bible verse? Do you have a verse that is very meaningful to you personally? Well, we shared them on Wednesday night, and I think there was 20 of us there. And it was just such a blessing. I left that meeting thinking, these are Bible people. They know their Bibles. And we know what the Word of God says. And so we're lovers of the Word of God. And you are the people of the Word. And that was evident in our meeting Wednesday night. But I would just like to say this. Never stop studying God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be a people who rightly divide, who study the Bible, who know the Bible, because the Bible is your lifeline. It was said of one of the greats, I can't remember who this was said, but it was said that if you were to cut him and make him bleed, he would bleed Bible. Because the person just knew his Bible. And you really, when you think of the older saints without computers and without everything that we have today and how they knew the Holy Scriptures, they were saturated with it. It guided their lives. I'm saying to you, continue to be people of the Word of God. It will help you in all of your relationships. It will help you in all of your church work. It will help you in your family life. It will help you in every area in your work life. It'll make you a rounded person for the glory of God. And there's just one more thing I'd like to say before I leave this morning. It's been my delight to be here with you, but I want you to know I could never have done this without Judy. Judy has stood by me for 40 plus years in pastoral ministry. And those of you who have pastors in your family, you know what a great accomplishment, a task that is, and that certainly takes the grace of God. And so when we depart, our parting is just going to be temporary because we're going to meet once again. And I hope we meet once again here on earth. But meanwhile, I want you to remember both of us, because really, without Judy, I couldn't have done all I do all these years. And I really She's been a great helpmeet for me, and it's just been a real joy to serve you through good times and bad, and it's been a wonderful blessing to serve you as a family. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, there's so much that could be said, but Lord, you know I'm a weak vessel. I'm worn out. I need rest. And Lord, I thank you for this congregation that's been so good to us. I think of how they bore with me through my surgery and recovery, and how this family was so precious to us. And we all have experienced that our church family is oftentimes more precious to us than our own families. And Lord, we thank and praise you for all your blessings to us. We could never repay you, but we want to say we love you. We thank you for saving us and for knitting our hearts together. And I pray that this congregation would stay together and go through this process in looking for the man of your choosing. And we'll thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for all these faithful people, the faithful men, the faithful teachers, all that you've done for us, for the children and those that have been saved and just recently baptized. It's such a blessing to know each and every one of these people and to love them so dearly. Thank you for all of this, for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.